good morning. Friday morning, a good Friday, and a great day to celebrate. Probably, is Good Friday more important than Easter? Or is Easter more important than Good Friday? I think it's a one weekend deal, and very, very important that we remember this morning that Jesus died, and we look ahead to Sunday. And Good Friday is one of those days where it's a little bit like when we go to a funeral, we're sad and somber, and but at the same time, this is not necessarily a sad day. That's why it's called Good Friday, because of what comes out of it. And so it is good to be together. So we're going to worship together. We're going to have communion together and participate in that. And so to start us off, I want to read part of the Good Friday story. Pilate had just condemned Jesus to death. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters and called out the entire regiment, and they dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And we can see that all there on the cross. Then they saluted him mockingly, taunting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" The Romans hated the Jews. And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, awful to be spit upon, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes on him again, and then they led him to be crucified. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to help carry Jesus' cross. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine drinked with myrrh, but he refused it. And then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw the dice to decide who would get each piece. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "King of the Jews," put right atop the cross. Two revolutionaries, or criminals, were crucified with him, one on the right, one on his left. And the people passing by also shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ah, look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross," they mocked. The leading priest and teachers of the religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe in him," as if they would. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, 3 hours later, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" And some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. And some of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. "Wait," they said, "let's see whether Elijah comes down to rescue him." Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn into from the top to the bottom. And when the Roman soldier who stood facing him saw how he died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God. Let's stand together, please. I'm going to pray, then we'll worship. Lord Jesus, we gather together this morning as your church. Thank you that we can be together to honor you, to remember you, to worship you, to love you, to be thankful for what you have done as we remember this day, Good Friday. Help us as we lift our voices in worship. Help us as we lift our hearts and our minds to you this morning, Lord Jesus. Speak to us. Love us more. Draw us together with you, Jesus. We pray this in your name.
Thank you.
There is nothing, nothing haphazard, nor accidental about Jesus. Everything he did, especially in this week, everything he did was intentional and with purpose. We'll see that, and we observe that, we look at that. Now, normally, the preacher would get up and tell you the story of the trial and the crucifixion and everything going up to Easter. This morning, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you, around your tables, to share the story of Jesus last week from the triumphal entry. So you can put up that next slide there. I know it's a little bit dark. The very last word is crucifixion and then death. I apologize for that. But around your tables, share a little bit. Talk about the story of Jesus last week, his death, and his resurrection if you want. All right? Go ahead.
Thank you.
telling the story to each other is powerful. To actually remember and play it through in your mind, and the songs that we've sung help us, and the continuing songs that we'll be singing yet will help us tell the story. Why did Jesus go through suffering and death? Why did he submit to the plan that he and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit put together? They planned this. It was all intentional. It wasn't haphazard. They put it together. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit planned this all, right down to all, even the gambling for his clothes. It was all predicted. Look at that. Incredible. Now, according to Tyler Staton in his book, The Familiar Stranger, he writes this. He goes, Jesus, we were just talking about this at our table here, Jesus was crucified outside of the city gate. Outside the city gate, an ancient equivalent of Skid Row, the unpoliced urban ghetto, the uncivilized, the criminal, the sick, the weak were cast out of the city beyond the gate. Now, most of our major cities around the world, they have this part, Skid Row and the ghetto and all that, is in the inner city. That's what we often talk. If you want to go to that area, you often go to the inner city of the big cities. But in Jerusalem, it was always outside because Jerusalem had to be holy. So they sent him outside. So if we're to look at it today, Jesus would actually make his way towards the inner city of Winnipeg. And that's where he would die. Not in the suburbs, not even in Sage Creek where we used to live. He would die in the inner city, among the uncivilized, and I'm not being critical, that's how we picture it. The criminal, the sick, the weak, and the cast out. A lot of people are cast out there. But he went outside the city back here. The Word became flesh. God in human form. God in human form carried the cross with the help of Simon beyond that gate and was executed as a common criminal. Think about that. That this Jesus is God. And he was crucified. They killed him. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Our sin against God makes us a common criminal in God's sight. But Jesus died for our death. He died for our sin. And our death, our sin, our fear of death was beaten and killed outside the gates. Our own death, our own fear, our sin. And so Tyler Staton goes on, and it's going fascinating. He goes, so what about this phrase that Jesus said on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? And he writes, and we know this, it comes out of Psalm 22. He's remembering, he's quoting Psalm 22, written by David. And what he's doing is he's looking back and he's grabbing a prayer from back there. And he's reaffirming a prayer that has been prayed by the Jews for many years. And then he's praying that prayer right now on the cross. That same prayer, my God, my God. All the Psalms were prayers. When Jesus was on the cross, he was not declaring and going, God, where are you? He was praying. He was praying a common prayer. So common that he didn't repeat it in Hebrew. He repeated it in Aramaic. He repeated it in the common language of the people. All the people, every one of them, would have understood what he was saying. And he was praying this. He was talking to God. He wasn't accusing God. He's saying, God, you're abandoning me. The past and the present, and then you look ahead that God, that Jesus in his prayer is actually praying forward on all our behalf anytime we have felt forsaken. Anytime we have felt abandoned. Anytime that we felt alone. Anytime we would have felt cast out. Anytime we would have felt excluded. He already prayed ahead for us. Now, I do need to make this statement because some people get this a bit confused. God had to abandon Jesus on the cross because of all the world's sin that he took upon. That was part of the design. But let me say it so clearly. He will never abandon us while we are on earth. He will never abandon us. Hell is a total different thing. Talk about that another time. But while on earth, Jesus will never, God will never, ever, he's not capable of abandoning us while we are living on earth. So on the cross, he prayed for us. One of the main points of his suffering, we can know that he's been there, that he's made it through the suffering and the death, and we can too. I think of the persecuted church. How do they make it through? In all the torturing and all that they have to endure, they remember Jesus on the cross because he made it through. At our loneliest point, we can know that he understands, that he's been there, that he's with us in whatever our sufferings are, as a church and as individuals. That's one of the main messages of the cross, where Jesus says to you and me, I've been there. I've been there in your past. I've been there in your present moment. I will be there in every moment of your future, he says, today, tomorrow, and next week, and next month, and next year, no matter what may come, I will be there right now. Beside you and right inside you, because I live in your hearts. He's always with us. And if the cross doesn't convince us of that, that he understands and he knows, then I don't know what can. Incredible that Jesus would do that. Worship team, come and lead us. our mind to remember. So as we take the bread and drink the juice, we're remembering. That's what we're doing. So I'm asking you just to pause for a few minutes, just to remember, to think. Bring our minds to the cross. So if you'd want to take a piece of bread and just hold it in your hand for a moment. In Mark chapter 14. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my body. This is something tangible that we remember. Jesus' body. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your physical death. It wasn't spiritual. Physical, what you all went through for us. We remember you. Let's eat together. Hear the wind howling. Can you hear that? A little bit of a reminder of what that day would have been. And then Jesus took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them. And they all drank it. And he said, this is my blood. Remember, it's my blood, which confirms the covenant, the relationship between God and his people, between God and you and me together, between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many, his blood. Is death. So Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your death. We thank you that you shed your blood for us. As it says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sin. So thank you.